said, one step at a time. I will move things into motion, but not until you obey the first step. Because if you cannot be accountable to what I've already revealed to you, you won't be accountable to the things I haven't yet revealed to you. Start with the first step. One step of obedience is worth more than just listening to 100 sermons.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Did you know it's possible for you to bring God delight? But there's a key. It's not attending church, it's not doing good deeds or quoting the Bible. The key to God's delight is obedience. Here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Obedience, the Key to God's Delight.
Well, let me tell you what my hope is for today. My hope is this, that I can take a word that's usually connected to such words as burdensome, tough, difficult, almost punitive, and change your perspective on a word so that you'll see how powerful it is, and it's a part of God's love, and that's the word obedience. Obedience. Now, we're going to come out of Matthew chapter 7. So if you can turn to your notes, right at the top of your notes, there's a scripture I'd like you to read with me out loud. But prior to that, let me give you the context of what's going on as Jesus speaks some pretty tough words about the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to read a little bit and then you can join in with me. Listen to this. Jesus is speaking. Matthew 7:22 says this. Now on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and like cast out demons and do works, mighty works of miracles in your name? And then I will declare to them, saith the Lord, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Now let's continue. Read right at the top of your notes as we continue. Go. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So he's saying, not just those who have the talk can say, Lord, Lord, and have the right words, but those who do the what?
Walk.
The walk or the will of my Father, those are the ones that are going to have an entry. I was thinking about that, and that's pretty tough. It's like, it's not those who say, Lord, Lord, because there's a lot of people in church that have the right words. And I was thinking, I wonder if when I get to heaven, the people that I thought will be there may not. And the ones that, no way, will. The first day in heaven may be quite a rude awakening where I'll look in aghast at somebody and say, what are you doing here? And they're going to look at me and say, what are you doing here? I think it'll be a very interesting day in heaven, don't you think? Yet the Bible says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. You know what the key to God's delight is? You know what the true delight of God is? Here's what. God wants you to spend eternity with Him forever. That's His whole delight. That's what redemption is about. The cross was about. For what? So that we could spend eternity with Him in heaven. That's the bottom line. That's God's delight. And if it is indeed God's delight, obedience or doing the will of the Father is pretty important to God, because it's not just those who have the words, it's those who have the walk or the obedience. See, what delights God isn't church attendance. What delights God the most isn't how much Christian jewelry you wear. What delights God the most isn't really how many Bible scriptures you can quote. Nope. What delights God the most is that we will do the will of His Father, because His desire is to spend eternity with us. Now think about this. This might blow your mind, so get ready. This life is like a preparation for eternity. Isn't that right? And so you're going to learn some things here that are going to carry over into eternity. So I'm thinking we got to learn obedience here Because if our tendency is to disobey here on the earth, I wonder if we carry that into heaven. You say, really? Well, sure. 1 Timothy 4:7. But discipline yourselves for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline profiteth little, but godliness profiteth unto all things, since it holds promise for this life as well as the life to come. You mean you carry something? Yeah. You see, if you have a tendency to disobey on this earth, that's bad. But if you carry that into heaven, that's terrible. I mean, what happens if we're in heaven and you have a tendency to disobey? Remember, Lucifer did. So what if we carry that into heaven? It's like, you know, let's say I do something wrong. You come in and say, hey, God, I'm looking for Pastor Wayne. Where is he? He's doing a timeout right now. Oh, he did some. How long is he going to be in timeout? Well, in heaven, first infraction, 500 years. Now, I don't know. But I think God is going to try to work us through obedience here because it's going to be something we're going to carry on, our heart. What's the bottom line? The bottom line of all that we're going to be learning, it's in Ecclesiastes. Let's read what Solomon says. Here's the bottom line. Go. The end of the matter, after all has been heard, here it is. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. The whole duty of man. The end of man. The bottom line. Here it is. Common denominator is to what? Fear God and to do His and fulfill His commandments, follow His commandments, keep His word. If the end of man is obedience, listen carefully, if that's the highest thing of man, then the highest form of worship, as wonderful as singing is, the highest form of worship, as wonderful as dancing is, the highest form of worship, listen, is obedience. Because without it, God's greatest delight will never be fulfilled. Because it's not those who have the words, it's those who have the obedience. So God's greatest delight is our obedience, because that's the highest form of worship. Now, you say, Wayne, is that obedience stuff? Is that that big of a deal? Oh, yeah. And what I want to do is to give you a new perspective today on what obedience is and how powerful it is and how God rewards that. That you'll need to know that everything that God does in your life is because of love. Even obedience. Do you know that obedience is an expression of God's love for you and your love for God? Obedience. It's an expression of love. We always see it as something burdensome, but it's not in your notes, but read it up on the PowerPoint with me, would you? In 1 John 5:3, go. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. Listen to this. And His commandments are burdensome. His commandments are not burdensome. But yet we often see obeying God's commandments, oh, that's burdensome. Oh, I want you to see it so different, because everything that God does in your life and in your marriage and for your future is because He hates you? No. Because He dislikes you? No. Because He what? Because He loves you. It's like a parent. I say to my kids, hey, don't be playing on the freeway. Yeah, but I want to play on the freeway. Shut up. Get in here. You don't want me to play on the freeway because you hate me. No, I don't want you to play on the freeway because I love you. Everything that God does and asks us to obey is not because He wants to rain on our parade. It's because He what? He loves us. I want you to see in a whole new perspective today the reason for obedience. Because everything about Him is love. And obedience is simply cooperating with God's design. Isn't it true that God is the creator, right? He's created everything, right? And His creation is going to stand fast. There's certain physical laws. There's spiritual laws. These are very important. So God is the creator. And you know what obedience is? Obedience is simply Him instructing you as to how to function in His creation. In fact, would you write down number one Obedience is all about God's design. Now, I need you to hear this very carefully. God is a creator. And because he's created your life, he knows how you function the best. He knows how marriages function the best. He knows how your mind is to function the best. He knows how relationships function the best. Because he is the creator of all. And he's going to put certain laws into motion. Why? I'll tell you why. Let's read this first scripture and you'll see. Go. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood. Take a trip back with me to Genesis. In the beginning, the earth and space, the cosmos was formless and void. Cataclysmic collisions taking place, supernovas going off, kaboom, crash. And God said, hey, stop. Stars, blink, peep, peep, peep. Keep it up, a couple million years. And now, Earth, I want you to be the third planet from the sun. Now, I want moon, I want you to be about 283,000 miles from the Earth. And I want you to have a rotational synchronization around the Earth. I want your face to be facing the Earth all the time, one side, because there's a gravitational force that I'm going to use so you'll control the tides. And now, Earth, I want you to be flying through the space around the sun at 66,000 miles an hour. And by the way, I want you to tilt on your axis at 23 degrees. Light, I want you to move at 186,000 miles per second. Bzz! Sound, I want you to move at 768 miles an hour. Now, I want you to be moving in such synchronicity that if you moved any slower, Earth, if you turned any slower, you would alternately burn then freeze. If the moon, you come any closer, it will cause a tidal wave twice a day on this Earth. And after the first tidal wave, you don't have to worry about the seconds. Now I'm going to put an ozone layer around the Earth that in combination with the magnetic fields of this Earth, it will give a solar radiation protection so that every human being on the Earth will not receive solar radiation. It will not fry you. The sun will not harm you. Every person on the Earth, except Howleys, because you got to have sunscreen. Oh, man, use sunscreen. But everybody else, not too bad, but use sunscreen. And now the Lord says, I want you to move in perfect synchronicity, and I want you to do it with precision. Go. Now, some people say, well, why doesn't God just loosen up his laws a little bit? If God said, hey, moon, do whatever you want to. Sun, you can move a little closer. If God loosened up his laws of creation, there would be a cataclysmic collision akin to Genesis chapter 1. It would be within a day the total elimination and annihilation of mankind. You really want God to loosen up his laws? You want him to just kind of get lenient? No, you don't want God. You want God to be merciful, but you don't want God to get lenient. Because when God is merciful, he doesn't lower his standards at all, but he gives you mercy. If God lowers his standards, we're annihilated. So God is a creator God. And then he creates your body, and he knows how your body functions the best. He knows how your arm functions. Your arm was not designed to be thrust into a vat of hydrochloric acid. It just doesn't function well in hydrochloric acid. You put it in, you pull out a stump. Your body is not functioned or designed to withstand the collision of a car coming at you at 75 miles an hour. It breaks every bone in your body. God's saying, I didn't create you to function that well in that situation. But I know exactly how you function the best in your marriage. You see, whether it's the stars in heaven or a marriage in a home, whether it's the rotation of our planets, or the relationship between a man and a woman, or a brother and a brother, and a sister, God knows how He created us, and He knows how we function the best. And He took those instructions and He put them in a leather-bound book. And that if we will obey, if we will obey, if we will obey, it expresses to Him that you are the Creator and we are the created. If you violate God's laws and His principles, there are massive cataclysmic consequences, both physical or spiritual. Let's read what it says in Romans 6:23. Would you read it? Now, the consequence, go. For the wages of sin is, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So if you disobey, what happens? Death, because everything, I'm not changing it. But what is my desire? Eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord, because my greatest delight is that you spend eternity with me. And if you'll obey me on this earth, there will be blessings. Listen very carefully. Some people say, well, obedience is kind of hard. The cost of obedience is nothing compared to the cost of disobedience. Let me say that again. The cost of obedience is nothing compared to the cost of disobedience. Because the wages of disobedience is death, spiritually and physically. So you say, well, really? Yes, it's all about our faith. Because if you obey God, what you're saying to Him is, I understand that you're the Creator, and I understand that I'm the created, and we're going to cooperate. It's funny. But we have to understand that truly, 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 it has to do with our faith. In fact, obeying God, would you write in number two? Obedience completes our faith. Obedience completes our faith. Romans 10 says, faith cometh by what? Hearing. Okay, the first kind of faith you need is a hearing faith. You've got to hear the gospel. You've got to hear it with your ears. And then when you receive Christ, it's added to with an action or a response to what you just heard. And that completes your faith. If you just have a hearing faith, it's not good enough. If we just hear and not do, we're in trouble. But every step of obedience that you take with what you hear, every step of obedience, it's like God meets you. But His blessings and His work in your life and for your future does not begin until you act on it. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist is baptizing? Now, he had heard about Jesus, but hadn't had too much contact with Him. Now, Jesus, the Son of God, comes over and He's at the bank of the Jordan River and John is there baptizing. And Jesus said, excuse me, John, hi. And John looks up and sees Jesus. And his eyes get real big. OMG, he says. What do you want me to do? Could you baptize me? You should be baptizing me, not me baptizing you. Oh, no, just obey what I'm asking. Because you don't understand that it might seem like a small thing to you, but if you just obey this one step, see, God has a much bigger plan, and this is going to be a part of a larger plan of redemption. Huh? Yeah. See, when John the Baptist said, I don't need to baptize you, it's just a small thing, let's read what Jesus' response is. And it sounds cryptic, but let me unpack it for you in a second. Let's read it. Go ahead. But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he allowed him. You say, what does that mean? Here's what Jesus is saying. John, permit it. Just take the step of obedience, even though you can't see beyond it. But just let me tell you, permit it at this time, because when you do, something of the righteousness of God's plan goes click, click, click into motion. It doesn't start until there's obedience added to faith. But when you obey, even in the smallest step, something almost like a chiropractic adjustment, God goes click, click, click. And each time I obey, click. See, it's not in the hearing faith, it's the completeness of faith that has hearing and obedience. You understand why this is so important to God? Because he doesn't move. Heaven does not get engaged until the second half of our faith gets engaged. Otherwise, we'll be like the Pharisees, just hear it all the time. That's why James says, prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. Because if anyone is just a hearer and not a doer, does just first half and not the second half, he is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror. But once he has gone, he has forgotten what kind of person he was. But the man who looks at the perfect law of liberty or the word of God, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what? He does. The blessing comes when you have a completed faith. And he said, John, if you'll just do this, just a step, you won't understand step two or three. You can't see beyond that. But if you'll just do this one step, obey as much as you know, when you do, something of the righteousness of God and his plan for your life, your future, click, 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 starts to come into motion. You understand? God waits for that. I tell you what happened when I was 30 years old. I was in Eugene, Oregon, and the Lord spoke to my wife and I that we were to come and start pioneering some churches here. And this was back in 84. And so I heard it. So, okay, got it. I got it. I got it. But I was poor, man. I was a youth pastor. So I had $1,500 to my name in the bank. And the Lord said, okay, you know you're supposed to go and start pioneering. Uh-huh. Well, oh, no, no, I feel it, Lord. I feel it. Yeah, it's there. Okay. I said, well, what do you want me to do? This is what he said. Go buy the ticket. Ooh, that's serious. I only have $1,500. I was arguing with God. He said, well, good, that's enough. That'll buy the tickets for you and your family to go. Then I won't have anything left. What will I do when I land? I have no money. The church is too small. They're not going to hire me. I've got to figure it out on my own. And when I did, for the first year of getting things ready, it took me about $40,000. I said, Lord, I don't have that. The church doesn't have that. He said, one step at a time. I will move things into motion, but not until you obey the first step. Because if you cannot be accountable to what I've already revealed to you, you won't be accountable to the things I haven't yet revealed to you. Start with the first step. Listen carefully. One step of obedience is worth more than just listening to 100 sermons. One step. So guess what I did? I went down and bought the tickets, March 4th, 1984. We're going to move. We're going to fly over. So I came home with the tickets and I thought, I am done. I have no money. Now, this is a true story. I'm actually going to tell you the name of this person. A friend of mine named Alan Maxwell called me the very next day and said, hey, let's have lunch. I went to lunch with him. I thought, great, I'm poor, free lunch. So I went to lunch with him. As I sat there at the table, he slid across the table to me an envelope. He said, in it is some stock certificates. You can cash them if you want to, but the Lord spoke to me just about a day ago and said, I am to give this to you. I said, stock certificates? Can I cash them? He said, do whatever you want. It's yours. I said, wow. So I took this envelope home, called the company, and I said, I have X amount of stocks here. If I cashed it in today, how much would it bring me? They calculated it out. Guess what they said? $40,000. And that's how New Hope began. Pretty interesting. One step of obedience. You see, something of the righteousness of God does not click in until what? You hear? No. Until you obey.
You've just heard part one of a message entitled Obedience, the Key to God's Delight by Dr. Wayne Cordero. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Now, for Pastor Wayne, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.